Matthew chapter number 8. And we'll begin reading at verse number 23. And the Bible says, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? I'm going to read just one verse from Psalms chapter 89. Psalms 89 and verse 9. And it says, Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Amen, amen. Just for a short little bit of time, I'm going to preach to y'all the master of the storm. The master of the storm.
Yes.
You put your Bibles down and raise your hands. Let's ask God to move here in this service this morning.
When you walk with us, Lord, minister in a mighty way, Jesus. Speak to every one of us, God. Help us to hear, receive your word, Lord, that you can minister, God. Anoint your preacher, Lord. Use him today, God.
Hallelujah, 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 God. We pray that you heal those that are sick, God. Sister Roxanna and Brother Troy. God, bring healing to their body and heal them in Jesus' name. God, heal them, Lord, and take away the sickness that is there. God, we pray that you keep your hand upon Pastor Brother Worse and the Newmans and Sister Pam as they are out of town. Bring them back safely, we pray in Jesus' name. God, we're asking you to let your spirit move in this service. God, speak to someone's heart. Oh, let the Holy Ghost fall down in the sweet presence of God. Be here. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, in Jesus' name, glory to God, glory to God. God bless you, and you may be seated. I wanted to start off by kind of sharing a little bit of my experience that I have had out, whether it's on the ocean or a lake, and being in a boat. And I promise you that experience is nothing that I really want to share or even discuss about. I do not do well on boats. I don't care the size of the boats. There's only been one boat or ferry that I've been on in Seattle where I made it to the other side feeling exactly the same way as when I left. And that was a huge ferry in Seattle, and I stood out in the 40-degree rain the whole time just to have that cool feeling so I wouldn't get sick. I don't take the sea easy at all. I am not very good at it. The seas, it doesn't matter if there's a little rock. People have told me, look in the distance. That doesn't help because it's my head fluids that are moving. Distance ain't going to help. Close your eyes and lay down. That ain't going to help either. That makes it worse because then I get to feeling it even more. That some people say, oh, you need to maybe fill your stomach up with something. Then that gives me something to come out of my stomach. That is, it is not very good. I don't have good times when I'm on the boat. One time I went deep sea. I've been deep sea fishing with the Carrickers, and they still to this day make fun of me for me feeding all the fish just so they can catch them when we were on our sea trip. It was terrible. It was a miserable experience. One other time after that, I went with a pastor in Alabama, and I caught a 6-foot shark. And my dad was thinking, hey, maybe some action will take his mind or help that sickness to go away. But as soon as I caught that shark, I went to the other side of the boat and fed the fish on that side. It was terrible. I don't have good experiences. Even on, there's a ferry, if you've ever been to Aransas Pass, it takes you from Aransas Pass over to Port Aransas. It's maybe a 5-minute boat ride, if even that. And I get sick on that. It's not fun. I promised my dad, I was like, Dad, if you ever want to go on a deep sea fishing trip for Father's Day or birthday, I will donate money, but I will be there with you in spirit. I will never touch a boat deep sea fishing ever again. And I just don't go well with that. But those who are on boats, captains, who it has made it their livelihood, they make money from doing it. Some of them who go out for crab fishing or even cruises, they spend their lives, and that is how they make their money. Why they chose that, I have no idea. They're insane. That does not make sense to me. But even some of them will still tell you that even with them having all the years of experience, when they come into a storm, they still get seasick because there's nothing that can that the body is used to when it's being violently shook around like that. They still get seasick. The most weathered men who've been doing it for 10 to 15 years. There's one captain who said he was doing it for 15 to 20 years, and he still saw some of his most experienced sailors feeding fish on the side of the boat and just sick and pale and could not take it. And they spent their lives from 4 and 5 years old living on a boat. But even in all of that, they are not in control of that boat. Those captains, all they are at the mercies of the raging waves, no matter how large their ship is. Captains of these big cargo vessels that hold these crates, they say they try to get at least 250 nautical miles away when they see a storm, especially when it's a hurricane. But they said even 250 nautical miles, they will experience up to 6 feet waves and sometimes even 8 foot waves. That might not seem a lot, but then there are cruise vessels who they're not carrying any cargo. They're carrying people, but their ships are built to handle storms in a better way. But yet they said they will even experience sometimes up to 25 feet swells. And there's even a cruise liner out there. It's called the Anthem of the Seas. This is known as one of the largest cruise ships for the Royal Caribbean liners. And it said it attacked a storm one time, and there was swells coming over the top of it at 40 feet high. 40 feet high swells. I promise you, I would have been super sick. I probably would have died. I would have had nothing left in me. But in all of this, they tell you that the best they can do is just weather the storm. The best they can do is just tie everything down. Some of the captains say that they'll dampen the tablecloths and then wrap the plates up in that so the plates can't slide and they're kind of sticking to the tablecloths. And others say if you're in a cargo ship with those heavy containers out there, sometimes they count it as lost. That's why they try to get away as far as possible. Because if there's waves that are coming over that boat, they can carry those containers off. Those containers aren't made to weather storms like that. Others, they say they can tie them down, but there's no guarantee that they're going to even make it to where their original destination is. You have no control over the ship when you are out on sea. There is absolutely zero, there's zero maneuvers, zero things you can do. The best you can do is pray and hope to God that you make it to any sort of land at all. Those waves are going to rise up. They're going to throw your boat. They're going to throw you to off course. One captain said that he could have either tried to weather the hurricane and completely be thrown off course like that, or he said they decided to go over 1,000 nautical miles to a different location just to weather the storm out. That's how bad some of these storms are. But I want to make a point that it doesn't matter how long these captains have been on the seas. It doesn't matter how long their crews have been on seas. There's nothing they can do when they get in the middle of a storm. There is nothing that they can do to keep their ship on course. These storms are going to trash the ship. These storms are going to throw them back and forth. And unfortunately, people are going to lose their lives out in the storm. People aren't going to come back the same. They're going to come back mentally and physically exhausted from the storms that are beating on their ship, on their boat. We see in the Bible, the Apostle Paul was coming across a storm that was like this. Paul, in Acts 27 and 14, and it says, "But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, And going down to verse 18, and it says, "And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ships." They were doing everything possible that they could to stay alive in this ship. And this evil storm called Euroclydon. There was nothing they could do. They were throwing stuff overboard. And the Bible says in a couple verses later that this went on for 14 days. 14 days, 14 nights being tossed to and fro, not even knowing if you're going to make it to your direction. There's another verse in the Bible that they feared that they were going to be tossed against the rocks of the shore. They couldn't even see, but all they knew is they were in the storm of all storms. These captains will tell you in storms like this, you get little to no sleep at all. There is none. This is not, they say when they're hiring sailors, they're looking for a couple things. One who has either fished all their lives on boats. And another one is people who can survive not depending on 8 hours of sleep. Because when you come in a storm, you're being tossed. You can't stay in, there's times you can't even stay in your bed. You're getting thrown out of your bunks. You're having to just stay up and try to weather the storm out. It is mentally and physically exhausting when you're going through these storms. Maybe not physically to each and every single one of us, but all of us at some time and point in our lives, or if not right now, are weathering the storms of life. There are the storms of life that try to throw us against the rocks. There are storms of life that can come against us, and we see that, we feel that the whole world is stacked on us. It's a storm of life. We can't see far out. We can't see in the distance. We have no idea if we're going to survive. But all we know is that we're in the storm of all storms. We're in the storm that we feel that we can't control. We know everything is out of control, but yet we want to try to control it on ourselves. There are storms of life. There are family problems when family might start turning against you. Family, close relatives turning and talking about you. Friends, close friends turning and spreading gossip, hurting you, tearing you down. And you turn around and you look, I thought they were my friends. They're supposed to be my family. And it feels like a storm. People who you loved, people who you trusted. It's not fair. You're like, life is not fair. Why am I going through this storm? It's a storm of all storms. Sometimes there are people, and maybe it's someone here today, but there's a storm you could be going through in life, and you're starting to turn your eyes. You're trying to see a remedy. You're trying to find a way out. You might turn to drugs. Drugs can take my mind off it. I just need a little bit. I won't have to think about it again. But I'll tell you, when you get off that high, your problems are still going to be there. That storm is going to be there just like it was when you left it. You say, but I can drink all my problems away, Brother Micah. Oh, you can drink them away temporarily. But when you come back, your storm's still going to be there. Your storm's still going to be raging and trying to beat you against the rocks. You're going to want to lighten the cargo and see no way out. Unfortunately, there's people who turn to suicide. They see no way out. They see no alternative. They're in the moment. They see nothing but the waves. They see the 25 and the 40-foot swells coming up. And all they know is they're going to lose their lives. They're going to lose. There's no sense in even fighting. There's no sense in weathering it out. I don't understand, God. Why are you letting me go through this all? Why do I have to keep going through this? All this can wear you down physically and mentally as well. And just when the waves seem to settle, another comes crashing in right behind it. It doesn't matter what it might be. Like I said, family or friends betraying you. But then all of a sudden, your boss comes out and says, you have no job. And it's a wave that crashes against and you feel like you can't take it. Or and you're lost, you have a family. And all of a sudden, there's no money coming in to pay the bills. And you're scared. and you see no way out, but God is just sitting there asleep in the boat, just waiting, waiting. I chose Matthew to read. There's a couple other gospels that talk about this story. But Matthew is the one who relays it a little bit different than all the others. Because in the others, they say that the disciples go to the master who is sleeping in the boat. And they say, hey, don't you care that we perish? And they say, and the Bible says that God stands up and he rebukes the winds and the waves. And then he turns to them and says, oh, ye of little faith. But Matthew accounted this story a little bit differently. He said the disciples went to the bottom of the boat and they found Jesus. And he is asleep. To them, this is a storm of all storms. To them, they see their lives. The Bible says, we perish. There's no question. We are going to perish. They are saying, we perish. Master, we perish. Awake him. Save us, Lord. We perish. And then Matthew accounts it in a different manner. And he says that God stands up and he just looks at them and he says, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Why are you fearing? He hasn't even rebuked the seas yet. I can see God doing this in such a confused face. Just why are you even fearing? Because before this, they were just on the land. Before going on to the sea, Jesus and all his disciples were on the land. There's countless miracles that are happening on this land. Number one that is accounted for, Jesus healed a leper. He said, Lord, be thou, if I can be clean. And he says, be thou clean. And immediately the leper was healed. Immediately. There's other miracles that are happening. And these disciples are right there, side by side, Jesus, watching all of this happen. Yet, this just shows how powerful the storms of life can be. You put the disciples in a boat, some of these even fishermen who have been fishermen for their work, and they get in a little storm and they say, Master, we perish. We see no way out. Wake up, God. Wake up. We perish. He just sits up and he asks, why are ye fearful? O ye of little faith? He even says that in a question mark. O ye of little faith? And in the midst of the storm where they saw death coming, death was imminent. The master of the storm was just waiting asleep to control their problems. He was just sleeping. The storms are nothing to Jesus. I'm here to tell you today that it doesn't matter what you're going through. I don't care the situations that are hurting your life. I don't care the remedies that you want to turn to that you see. I'm telling you, there's a master of the storm that is waiting to calm your seas. There's a master of the storm that wants to take control of your life. Throw away everything else. Get it all turned aside and just turn to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible says that my God is everything. He is all powerful. The Bible refers to it as omnipotent. He has all power. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too small for my God. I don't care what it is that you may be going through. It does not matter. The Bible says that if you have the faith of the mustard seed, that he can move all mountains. It's not good enough for you to go around the mountain or anything. He will remove the mountain and cast it into the sea. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, God, Lord. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I know there's tough situations that we all go through. Even Sister Sarah and I, there's situations we go through. And there's times you're just sitting there and you're crying. There's times you're struggling, and there's times you feel rejected. You feel there's no one out there that can help you. But I'm telling you, there's a master of the seas that's wanting to calm your storm. There's the master of the storm that's wanting to help you out. Turn away from all the other world. Turn away from the rejects of life and turn towards the master of the storm. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name. As we all stand here this morning, Oh, God. Oh, God. In Matthew 8 and 26, it says, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" It says, then he arose and he rebuked the winds. Well, he didn't just raise his hand and be like, snapped his fingers, but he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. There was no waiting. There was no 2 days later. There was nothing. It was immediately when they woke the master of the storm up. He controlled it, and there was a great calm. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let's raise our hands here this morning and ask God to help us. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I'm opening these altars this morning. If there's something you're going through, I'm here to tell you all you need is Jesus. But you're like, "Micah, that seems way too simple." And I'm just here to tell you, yes, it is just that simple. It is just that simple. All you need is just to come to Jesus. Let the master of the storms take control of your situation. He cares for you. He cares about everything that you're going through.